Oh, what I was talking about this morning, yeah? I mean, when we come here to the to the monastery, we come here to practice, to find a way out of dukkha. Yeah? That's our main purpose, you know, in the monastery. I try my best, you know, I mean, to set up the monastery that we have the most little time that we spend on other duties, yeah, but we have to do the duties, yeah. We have to keep the vat, yeah, clean, yeah. So we have to clean the bathrooms, we have to clean the sala, and we have to clean our kuti every day, yeah. We have to eat, and we have to wash the dishes, you know, and we have to keep the dishes, yeah. I mean, this is something that we cannot avoid, yeah. So, I mean, why we're doing this, you know, we have sati, yeah. Lungta Mahabho said, you know, open your eyes, open your ears, you know, and stay, you know, and do things fast. Yeah? Yeah? Because if you start to do things slowly, the thoughts are coming in, it creeps in, you know, and then we think about it, we work, you know, and with our thinking, you know, likes and dislikes come, and so on and so on. Yeah? So we do things fast, we do things quietly, and we listen to our heart, or we stay with our Buddha. Yeah? These things cannot be avoided, yeah. I mean, for the Michis, and for the Michis, you know, have these eight rules, you know, but also the lay people have these eight rules. For the Michis and for the monks, you know, I mean, there are certain things that we cannot do, yeah? And we need the lay people, you know, to ask them, you know, to do certain things for us, you know, that we are not allowed to do, yeah? For instance, water that, you know, is still water, you know, that is more than 3 days old, you know, I mean, we are not allowed to throw it away. But we are allowed, you know, to ask lay people to throw it away for us, or to cut branches of a tree, or to cut a tree, you know, or to dig in the earth, you know, or to remove this or remove that. We are not allowed to dig in the earth, you know, so I mean, that is, so the lay people, you know, who come here, you know, or the lay people from the village are willing, normally from the village are willing to help us in any way that is, that, where we need assistance, yeah? And I expect, you know, that the lay people who come here, you know, assist us in the same way, yeah? If you don't want to, you know, then please find another monastery, you know, I mean, I want to make that clear, you know. You're not monks, you know, and you're not Michis, so I mean...
Sorry.
Yeah?
I don't understand.
What?
Why do you need to expect? I mean, isn't that...
Yes, I know it is. I mean, I normally don't say this. I mean, when you listen to my talks, I normally don't say this, yeah? But in some occasions, I need to say it, yeah? Because there are some people, you know, and it is not the first time, yeah? There are some people who think, you know, they are better than monks or have to follow the same rules as monks, but they are not monks, yeah? Okay? That is the only reason, yeah? Most of the time I don't need to say it because, I mean, the lay people here help, you know, I mean, help with the whole heart, yeah, wholeheartedly, yeah. And they do a lot of pun, they do a lot of merit in this way, yeah. Don't forget it, you know, I mean, if you help the monks, you know, help the monks in any ways that they can't help themselves, you know, I mean, it is a lot of merit that you do, yeah. Never, don't forget that, yeah. So let's go back to the practice, yeah? I mean, we have come here to practice, you know, to overcome dukkha, yeah? And the first noble truth is there is dukkha, yeah? We know it, yeah? We know the physical dukkha and we know the mental dukkha. We don't like this or we don't like that, you know, we want to be this or we want to be that and don't become it. So, I mean, that is the mental dukkha. The physical dukkha is hunger, you know, is sleepiness, you know, when we need to go to the toilet, that is all dukkha, yeah? When we get up in the morning and we don't want to get up, that is already dukkha. Our whole day, every day, you know, starts with dukkha. But that is physical dukkha. Yeah? The physical dukkha, even when we are armed, we cannot overcome. Yeah? But our desires, you know, we can overcome. The tanha that leads to dukkha, that we can overcome. Yeah? And the fourth noble truth, you know, the path that leads to the end of dukkha is that what we are practicing. Yeah? Sila. Yeah? So, for the people who are here, you know, the lay people who are here, there are eight precepts, huh? For the Michis also the eight precepts, for novices the 10 precepts, and for monks the 227 precepts. Huh? That's what we keep, yeah? And then we don't, yeah? We don't bother about this anymore. Yeah, and then took samadhi. Now, samadhi is the ability to concentrate on one point. So we can take either the Buddha or we can take the breath. Yeah, I mean observing the breath around the tip of the nose. Yeah, where the breath comes in, where the breath goes out, knowing that the breath comes in, knowing that the breath goes out, knowing that the breath is long and short, you know, and whatever. Yeah. Or the same thing, you know, I mean, this is one point, yeah, when we observe when we do anapanasati, means, you know, awareness of the breath coming in and coming out, yeah, knowing that the breath comes in and coming out, yeah, sati. And the other thing is, you know, if you think a lot, you know, we use the Buddha, yeah, the mental repetition of the word Buddha, yeah. And then we do the same thing, you know, develop the knowingness of the Buddha. You know, is the Buddha at the beginning, is it the middle, is it at the end? Is it fast, is it slow, is it detailed, or whatever, yeah? Any aspect of the Buddha, yeah? So we completely absorb ourselves in the Buddha, or we completely absorb ourselves in the in the breath until, you know, until there are no more thoughts and memories coming up. Whenever there are thought or memory coming up, we recognize it and we go back to the breath, or we go back to the Buddha. Yeah, I mean, if it is too difficult to stay on one object, then we can use the Buddha with breathing in and the Buddha with breathing out. Yeah, so we have two objects there, yeah? That helps some people in the beginning of their practice. Yeah? Once our concentration starts to get better, I mean, we just stay on the object that is most familiar to us. Until we reach a state of upachara samadhi, or samadhi where there are no more thoughts and no more memories coming up, yeah, and then we feel safe. That is our safe haven or our safe house, yeah, wherever we can retract, yeah, where nothing bothers us. Yeah? The things that are bothering us, you know, is our thoughts, and mostly our thoughts and our memories, you know, our ideas, you know, whatever we had, yeah, or the physical body, yeah, our pain, you know, pain in meditation, or boredom, or whatever it is. Yeah? That's what bothering us most, you know. In upachara samadhi, there's nothing. But in upachara samadhi, we still keep on with the Buddha, or we still keep on with the breath, yeah, until the breath stops. It stops, it doesn't disappear. Remember this very well. The breath does not disappear. The only thing that disappears is our interest in the breath. Yeah? Take that to heart. Yeah? When you think that the breath disappears, yeah, then it is the interest in the breath that disappears. The knowingness of the breath, the longer we concentrate on the breath or on the Buddha, becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. Yeah? We cannot feel the breath anymore because the breath is very detailed. But our knowingness of the breath becomes so strong that, yeah, that we don't know, yeah, at that big time, we don't know anything yet. Yeah. Until the breath stops, then we know that the breath stops, and then we jump into this knowingness, and then we enter apanasamadhi. Yeah. Apanasamadhi is one-pointedness, yeah, when two points, you know, the subject and the object becomes one. The subject, you know, is we who observe the breath and the breath. Yeah? If these both things become one, then it is one-pointedness. And in one-pointedness, all of this universe does not exist. That is the preview of Nibbana, or it's the first wonder of meditation. Yeah? If you can do it, you know, it's fine. If you cannot do it, you know, I mean, upachara samadhi is fine. Yeah, I mean, if you get enough rest, then we go on to investigate. And what do we investigate? We investigate the body. Yeah? We are born, we die, we get older, yeah. we get sick, you know, and then we die. Yeah. And then we are born again, and we get, you know, we get sick, you know, we get older and we die. Yeah? Or we appear, yeah, when we go to hell, we appear and then disappear. Yeah? Or when we go to heaven, we appear and disappear. Or when we go to the ghost states, you know, we appear and disappear. Yeah. So, if you want to find out the way out of samsara, I mean, then we have to investigate our attachment to this body. No matter if it is, you know, I mean, in the animal realm, in the human realm, it is a coarse physical body, you know, in the Deva realm or in the hell realm, it's a fine fine body, yeah, a fine material body, yeah, and in the human realm, it's a coarse material body. Yeah? So we are attached to the body, we are attached to, you know, the senses, yeah, and that's why we stick to the samsara. Yeah? So we have to investigate. And the first and most thing is, you know, investigation of the body. Yeah. We do that until we understand. Yeah. We take off the body, you know, we put it apart, we put it in front of us, you know, until there's nothing left. There's nothing sitting on the seat except our knowingness that knows that these parts of the body that are out there. Yeah. And then it looks at the part, you know, then it asks itself, what part of the body is the body? Yeah. There is no body. Hmm? Because you put all the parts of the body out there and they are just parts of the body. Just like the Lord Buddha said, you know, if you take the wagon apart, you know, if you put it into nuts, bolts, planks and so on and wheel, you know, there is no car. Yeah? They are just parts of the car. And so you do it the same thing with the body until you understand. Yeah? The nature of the body. Yeah? And also, yeah, at the same time, you know, distance yourself from the body. You get an insight, you know, I mean that the body, yeah, is not you. Because that what sits there and sees the parts of the body or sees the whole body, yeah, or only one part of the body, no matter what it is, yeah, it is not a part of the body. Yeah. What sits here, you know, and sees the parts of the body is the citta. Yeah. And then you know, yeah, and if you do that often enough, you know, and you, or you won't understand, you know, not understand with your brain, but you understand, the heart understands that the body and the citta are two different things. And that is the separation, yeah, that you need. Yeah. That is one of the fetters that you need for entering sotapanna. It is important. Remember this, yeah? I mean, so when the mind gets calm and when you easily get into upachara samadhi, in this access samadhi where you can rest, then you can do the work, yeah, of investigation. Because the work of investigation, you have to focus on one thing. Just like when we focus on the Buddha, you know, we focus on either the part of the body or the whole body or all of the parts of the body, yeah? We have to focus on it and our mind cannot get distracted, yeah? So if you don't have samadhi, our investigation will not take fruit. This is something that we have to remember. There's another thing, you know, I mean, what I was talking last time, you know, in the sub session, yeah? about you know, the three armies that we fight, yeah? Greed, hatred and delusion. Yeah? I mean, don't underestimate delusion. Yeah? When you think about it, yeah. If I mean, somebody corrects me if I got it wrong. Avijja Pataya Sankhara. Avijja is the condition for all the phenomena to arise. The phenomena, Sankhara, are the conditions for consciousness to arise. Yeah, and consciousness is the condition for Nama Rupa, isn't it? And with Nama Rupa starts all the problems. Yeah, because then Tanha comes. Yeah, then our desire comes. So if you keep at the level of consciousness, yeah, and that is what is actually, you know, I mean, more or less sati, yeah, if you just know things, you know, if you don't put a label on it, if you say, you know, before we heard that sound, you know, if you say there's sound, okay, that's fine. But the moment you classify, this is music, this is rock music or pop music or whatever the music is, or this is voice or this is female voice or voice, yeah, then you are in trouble. Because then likes and dislikes instantly come up. With each association, with each memory, you know, that slaps, you know, a label onto these things, yeah, Nama Rupa is nothing else, slapping a label on our consciousness, what we are conscious of, eh? Then we are in trouble. Because then instantly, you know, from our past, you know, from our past experience, from our past karma, you know, instantly likes and dislikes, you know, appear. Yeah? Sometimes, you know, it can be neutral, but, you know, most of the times it's like and dislike, and then we are troubled. We don't like this music. Why does this music have to play? You know, I want to concentrate, yeah? Yeah? But if you just listen to sound, you know, then it's just sound. And there's no music, there's no voice, there's nothing. Yeah, there's just the, yeah, there's just the breath of life. Yeah? So remember this. Yeah, avijja, yeah? And the only time, you know, we can experience, you know, when the avijja disappears is in Apana Samadhi. Yeah? Because the whole, yeah? Avijja Padaya Sankara. Yeah? Avijja is a condition for all the phenomena, that means for the whole universe to appear. Yeah? But if you go into Apana Samadhi, there is no universe. Yeah? So, at that moment, and that's why Lungta Mahabho called it Privy of Nibbana, at that moment, avijja is cut off. Yeah? So when we come back, you know, I mean, of course, you know, there is avijja and all the phenomena and all. So, yeah. Just for a short explanation, you know, I mean, yeah, take it to heart, you know, and remember it, yeah, remember it well. Yeah? And that is, for the moment, it is enough to say, you know, I think there are some questions, yeah, also, Amin had some questions, you know, that, yeah, you can ask now.
It's related to another question about why the Buddhist society.
Why the Buddhist what?
Buddhist society. I mean the common Buddhist.
Yeah.
Think that everything is related to karma. And despite that, the Buddha said that it is not. That it's not the case. And you asked me if I can get the sutra.
Yeah.
The question.
Yeah.
So there are many sutras, but I could get the sutra I was talking about. I need to get the book. Samyutta Nikaya from the storeroom and coming back to give it to you so you can read the sutra if you want.
Yeah, I think that Meiji Sunanda, you know, showed me I didn't have yet time to read it. Yeah, I mean I read it, you know, but I mean I never said that everything is related to karma. Yeah, I mean. What my understanding is when I read the Majjhima Nikaya, Majjhima Nikaya, yeah. I mean, there where the Lord Buddha said, most of us is related to karma, there is chance, yeah. But when you look, and I said it all the time, when you look at your own, at the things that are happening to you, yeah, you will know. If you have a clear mind, yeah, not a deluded mind, if you have a clear mind, yeah, and you have a clear mind only, yeah, in the state of Upachara Samadhi, yeah, because there is no thoughts and there are no memories popping up. So you can see clearly in that state of mind. That's why we use this clear state of mind then to investigate. Because without a clear state, with all our ideas about this is the body, you know, this is how this works, I mean, we don't get an understanding. We don't develop wisdom. Yeah? So we need a clear state of mind. And this clear state of mind, we can only achieve in Upachara Samadhi. Yeah? That's why we use Upachara Samadhi then to investigate, you know, whatever it is necessary. Yeah? When you look at the things that are happening to you, and you have a clear state of mind and investigate, then you will find most of it, yeah? I don't say all of it, most of it is related to your own karma, to your way of thinking, to your ideas, to your viewpoint, yeah? That you had in the past and that you still can find within yourself. That's all. That is my experience, yeah? And that's what I teach, yeah? I don't teach from the suttas, I teach from my own experience also, yeah? And I realized, you know, that over the time, you know, that my experience that I had, you know, I mean, relates to the Buddha's teaching. Yeah, that's all. Yeah, that's why. Yeah, that's why I trust him. Yeah, I mean, I didn't find any experience I had, you know, in contradiction with the Lord Buddha. But I read, you know, once you give me MN, you know, and then the sutta number.
It's not from the Samyutta Nikaya. I have it. What? Samyutta Nikaya. The small.
The small. Yeah.
I have it.
I need to have that. Yeah, I need to have the contact.
I can just bring the book.
Yeah, not now, but afterwards.
It's really, I mean. It's
yeah, okay. After. I mean, there are other people, you know, who have questions about practice. Yeah. So, yeah. After the talk, you come in and you show me. Yeah. So. Are there questions, you know, from the Mitchis or from the lady? Do you have any questions? Mitchis Sundar? materially? No? Okay, so then read the questions that were... You have a question?
To me?
Yeah.
Lord Buddha is very clear.
Yeah.
When he spoke to Ananda.
Yeah.
Ananda asked, what is karma?
Yeah.
He says, Ananda, karma is deed, karma is action,
yeah,
karma is choice.
Yeah.
Because Ananda says, why are some people fortunate? Why are some people unfortunate?
Yeah.
Why are some people ugly? Why are beautiful?
Yeah. That's a sutta I know from the Master.
Ananda, it's volition, it's action, it's deed, it's a choice that we make, it's called karma.
Yeah.
If there is a chance that something happens, yes, but you still have to deal with this, so you still have to contemplate, make a plan or whatever, and then you have to take an action.
Yeah.
So you create karma.
Yeah.
It's always down to the individual.
Yeah. The only way who doesn't make karma is the arahant, because he has no volition. Yeah.
If I break my leg, okay, I still have to make a decision, what am I going to do? And then I have to do it.
Yeah.
It's a choice. And then it's karma.
Yeah.
If I make the wrong
choice. It can be good karma, it can be neutral, but there is also neutral karma.
But Buddha, it's all down to you, Ananda, to us.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I understand it very similar to you, you know, so I mean, there's no problem. So, I mean, read the question.
Does everyone have the same questions?
Or? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I mean, if some of the monks have questions, they can also ask, yeah?
No, this Trinajan said he wants to have these the next time we have Zoom session, but it doesn't make much sense.
What?
Trinajan said we keep these for the next Zoom session.
Oh, no, no, no. I mean, what I wanted to say, he keeps the one that were from the chat book for the next
Zoom. Trinajan said we...
No. I didn't realize that we have a Patimokkha.
The first one's email. Future war and disaster. I'm a Western lay person in my 20s and I live in New York City area currently. Given the coming war and events, do you think I should get out of the United States for the time being?
Yes. Yeah, I mean, clear, yeah? You should get out of Europe, yeah? You should get out of the US and you probably get out of China as well, yeah? And Russia. Yeah. There might be parts, you know, if you go to Alaska, something might not happen, yeah? I mean, there might be parts in every country, you know, where there's a safe place, but I don't know, sorry. The best thing is to get out, you know, to go to a country that is very unlikely to participate in the next world war. And the most the dominant factors is Europe, is Russia, is China, and is US. Yeah. If other people join, you know, like Turkey, you know, I don't know. So, I don't know. Okay, next question.
Apart from walking meditation, are forest monks allowed to exercise?
Not really. I mean, we can stretch ourselves, we can have a massage, you know, that's it, yeah. But we are not exercising in the way lay people exercise, you know, with stemming weight or running on a treadmill and things like that. We are not supposed to do that. Why do you smile?
Can you imagine?
I know, of course, yeah. We are not even allowed to, as monks, we are not even allowed to swim.
Really?
Yeah.
For fun.
Because swim is fun. I mean, one time, the Lord Buddha, you know, was it King Bimbisara or some king, you know? And then, you know, they looked out of the window and they saw some of the monks, you know, playing in the water and they're playing in the water pool, you know, or in the, whatever it was in the lake, you know, and then playing and swimming and so on. And then he said, no, that's not good. And next.
I read Schopenhauer's work and my brain is convinced that the world is like a toilet full of feces, but the heart full of craving and aversion still hankers after the world for various objects. What should be the next step to develop this passion for the worldly life?
And this passion, you know, I investigate the body. And that's where you get this passion. Open up this shithole, you know. Huh? Remove the skin and then you know, remove the path and then you will see. You know? I mean, that thing that you love so much, that you care so much, that you spend your whole life, yeah, your whole life as a human being to keep alive, yeah, it is not worth it. End of answer.
While meditating on the breath, okay, Tanajan answered this already.
The breath disappears? No, that is not. Yeah. Okay.
Sometimes when my mind becomes concentrated, I feel joy radiating from my heart area. Should I ignore this? Thank you.
No, you cannot ignore it, yeah? But you should stay on the Buddha or on the breath, yeah? Because then the joy becomes even more stronger, yeah? If you go to the joy, you know, it will disappear very quickly, yeah? So if you don't ignore it, yeah, that is very difficult. I, how can you not feel the rapture? You feel the rapture, but you still stay with the Buddha or you still stay with the breath, yeah, because that is the condition for the rapture to arrive. Okay.
Die letzte ist in Deutsch.
Ja.
War Meister Eckhart ein erleuchteter christlicher Meister? Sind seine Lehren vergleichbar mit den Erkenntnissen von Meistern anderer Traditionen?
Ja, sicherlich von den Forestmeistern hier in Thailand. Also wenn du Meister Eckhart liest, ne, also seine Lehren liest und verstehst, ne, dann sind die fast, ne, er benutzt andere Ausdrücke, ne. Wenn du nicht den Buddhismus verstehst, ne, dann wirst du, oder das Christentum verstehst, ne, dann wirst du den christlichen Ausdruck nicht mit einem buddhistischen Ausdruck gleichsetzen können. Aber nach meiner Meinung ist es so ziemlich dasselbe, was die ganzen Forest Kuba Achans hier in Thailand gepredigt haben. Kein Unterschied. Bis hin zum Netz, bis hin zum Nirvana. Okay? So, I mean, then that is enough. If you don't have any questions, then we close the session and then you can come. Yeah?
I have a question.
Yeah?
The Buddha said, that there is a being that found himself alone, so he thought he is the God.
There is a being that found himself alone?
Yeah, an entity that found himself
alone. To be a God.
Yeah,
eh?
Yeah, so he thought he is the God of everything. The same thing Jesus said in his Gnostic teaching about a God, an entity called Demiurge or Demiurge, if you know about it, it's...
I have no idea.
I just wanted to know if it's the same entity they both talk about.
I don't know
Can you please talk to us about the entity that the Buddha described, saying that it found itself alone and it don't tease the God?
I mean, I don't know really what he refers to. I mean, there's a God of creation, you know. I mean, he's pretty much alone. He doesn't have any people around him, so he might have,
maybe, I think he refers to Brahma, who was the first one to appear, and he was like, oh, I'm so lonely, I wish there were other beings here. And then other beings appeared, but it had nothing to do with his wish that other beings would appear, but he thought he created them, and that's why he thought he has made this world, and he's like...
Okay. Yeah, but that is Hinduism, yeah. That is,
I know about
it's also in the Pali Canon, exactly. Yeah.
I want to know what the Buddha said about this entity.
I have no idea, I don't know. I can't remember. I mean, didn't he go up to the Brahma realm, you know, and shook the palace of those Brahma? Yeah?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. If I remember correctly, he shook, you know, he was in front of all his ordinance, you know. I mean, all these other gods, you know, were sitting, you know, below him and, his, you know, all these people, yeah. And then the Lord Buddha and together with, I think, Mukalana, he was also there, very skilled, yeah. I came up to his palace, you know, and they started to shake his palace, you know, then the palace, you know, became, you know, very, very wobbly, you know, and then Brahma said, you know, please, 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 please don't do it in front of my people. Let's go to another room. And then the Lord Buddha taught him that he's also, yeah, he's also Anicca, you know, as a God, you know, you are Anicca.
Yeah.
That's what I remember, but you know, it's not so important, yeah. We have here, you know, pretty tough problems, you know, and we don't need to think about gods unless we have been Brahma in our previous life.
I asked this question because it can like break the bridge between many Christians and the Buddhists, because in the Christian Gnosticism,
yeah.
Or the Gnosticism,
yeah.
It teaches that about
Brahma is creating the world, yeah.
Demiurge, they say, its name is Demiurge or Demiurge.
Yeah.
It's close to the description that the Buddha said. Yeah. Much people don't know about it.
Yeah, I mean, let the people believe whatever they believe, you know. As long as a rich religion, you know, maybe if it's Christianity or if it is Muslim, I mean, as long as they teach us to be good people, not to harm people, you know, not to steal, yeah, not to lie, you know, and not to take intoxicants, you know, I mean, and not to indulge in sexual misconduct, you know. I mean, this religion is good, yeah. But the people who are, you know, who are following this religion are mostly not good because they don't keep the precepts, yeah. Yeah. I mean, in the Christianity, you have these 10 commandments, you know. They left out one of the important things, drugs and alcohol, yeah. But anyway, so I mean, as long, no matter, if it is Hindi, you know, if it is Taoism or whatever, you know, I don't know many things about the Chinese religions, yeah. But, you know, as long as the religion teaches us to be human beings, you know, to respect other beings, you know, and to be good to other beings, yeah, and not to harm other beings, and not to lie and things like that, you know, I mean, this religion is worthwhile, yeah. And for a lot of people, this is the religion, you know, I mean, they should trust until they come to Buddhism, until they understand, you know, that heaven is not the end stage, yeah, and or hell is not the end stage, because in lots of religion, you know, yeah, I mean, as long as I understand, Christianity and Muslim as well, you know, hell is eternity and heaven is eternity, but that is not true. But I don't understand too much about Muslim, but I think it's the same.
Islam, no.
It's not eternity?
No, it's not eternity. You might like spend some time in hell and then go to heaven.
Oh, then you go to heaven, yeah? But then heaven is eternity.
I think so.
Yeah. So, I mean, no. In Buddhism, nothing is eternal except Nirvana. Oh, that would be nice, huh? Yeah. Just spend a few thousand years in hell, you know, and then go to heaven, you know, and then rest there for the rest of your life. Yeah, it's a bad thing, you know. I mean, even the Lord of creation, you know, he creates his world systems, you know. I mean, sooner or later he has come back as a human being, you know, and then he lives in his own creations, yeah. Just like we live in our own creations, yeah. Sometimes it's a mind creation, you know. Sometimes we are fooled by our creations of our mind. And sometimes it's a creation, you know, like we create, you know, I mean, these cars or these rockets and whatever, yeah. Or these skyscrapers, yeah. We live in our, you know, creation and we think of ourselves, oh, wow, how beautiful I go with the airplanes, you know. I mean, isn't it amazing, you know, and we are deluded about our own creation, okay. Yeah. Let's stop at this, yeah. If there are no more questions, then let's go and practice. Yeah?
One question.
Yeah?
Hate so strong and virulent, you even hate your own existence, your own consciousness.
Yeah.
All the way back to your ancestors.
Yeah.
And there is no way out, and you're trapped.
There is a way out.
What is the medicine?
First of all, to accept, yeah, to feel the hate, yeah. I mean, what did the Lord Buddha say about hate, you know? When you see hate coming up, you know, you change, you know, he compared it, you go out of the way, yeah? If you can't go out of the way, you look down, you don't look at it, yeah? and then pass by. If you can't, you know, I mean, that, what was the last, what was, Alex, you know, you are good at the sutta. The last thing, you know, was you take the hate and you drown it. Wasn't it? Alex?
You mean how to read the four,
Samavayama? Yeah.
Well, you can confront it.
Yeah.
You can beat it.
Yeah.
You can contemplate it. You can replace it with metta or mudita.
Yeah. That is a different one, yeah, but that is also good, yeah. Now, the moment you see it, it doesn't matter. Hate can be directed towards oneself. Hate can be directed towards other things, yeah. But before hate comes up, there's something, yeah. So you look at it, when hate comes up, you feel the feeling of hate, and don't forget that you have your Buddha. Because any kind of thought, any kind of memories that can come up will be a fuel for your hate. So they will, yeah, this is like putting oil in the fire. Yeah. So you must be able, you know, to control your mind with the Buddha or with the Anapanasati. Yeah. When hate comes up, you feel it, you accept it, and then you go back to the Buddha. Yeah. You don't, yeah. And you have to be very careful that you don't let any other thought, yeah, and any other memory coming up, yeah. You have to instantly replace it, yeah, until you feel safe again. And then, you know, then you take it back a little bit and then let it come up again, yeah. Because we want to understand what is the root of the hate, yeah. If we don't accept it, if we hate the hate, you know, I mean, this is not the way out, yeah. You have to accept it, yeah, and you have to see it, how it arises, yeah, and you have to see what is the seed beneath it, yeah. Okay. So then now we can stop, really, yeah. Have a nice evening. Nice walking or sitting meditation.